The structure for today's shiur is that we're going to conclude what we began yesterday by talking about when the Torah gave us the mitzvah of tzitzis, did it mean for us to continuously pattern and assemble our tzitzis the same way that the tzitzis was assembled in the Dor HaMidbar, in the desert? And therefore, whatever type of garment, whatever type of the way that they put it on in the Midbar, that's going to be the way that we are supposed to manufacture our garments and the way that we are supposed to wear the tzitzis? Or do we say that the tzitzis is meant, obviously, not to be infinitely flexible, but that it is meant, to a certain extent, it's flexible enough to adapt to changing patterns of styles and to changing modes of dress, and that therefore, perhaps, if, let's say, that the color of our talisos should change and be different from those of the Dor HaMidbar, or if the manner of wearing talisos were to change and be different from that of the Dor HaMidbar, so then perhaps the mitzvah of tzitzis would also adapt to include the new types of clothing and the new manners of dress. So yesterday we surveyed how that applied to the color of the baged. We saw that in the Midbar, most talisos were white. That seems to be the assumption of Tosfos, that seems to be the assumption of Rashi and of various other Rishonim. And we also saw that Rava insisted, Midi Tziva Kagarim, it makes no difference what color my individual talis is. Tosfos and Rashi add on, it makes no difference what color most of our talisos are nowadays, even if most people start wearing solid blue talisos in order to remind them of the Techeles. Rava said it would make no difference because Midi Tziva Kagarim, the color doesn't cause anything. It all depends on the fact that in the desert, most people's talisos were white. So that was one nafkamina. Tosfos, that Boaz pointed out, mentioned a second nafkamina, and that is what materials are chayav in tzitzis. According to Rav Nachman, that because in the desert, people only wore clothing that was made out of wool or that was made out of linen, therefore, the Torah said you're supposed to put tzitzis on your clothing. It meant you're supposed to put tzitzis on wool clothing and you're supposed to put tzitzis on linen clothing. Rav Nachman said that there is no mitzvah d'oraisa to put tzitzis on clothing that's made out of other materials. That's why many poskim still urge nowadays not to wear katan or other type of tzitzis, because maybe you're not getting the mitzvah d'oraisa. Maybe all that you're getting is a mitzvah d'rabbanan. That was the opinion of Rav Nachman. Again, it's based on the fact that in the desert, they were basically wearing exclusively wool and linen clothing. Rava himself, though, argued, and Tosfos said that according to Rava, the only way to explain Rava is to say that Rava maintained that the patterns of dress were different in the Midbar. That in the Midbar, it wasn't that they were limited to cotton and wool clothing, to wool and linen clothing, but they also had other types of clothing in the desert. And therefore, when the Torah said, Al kanfei bigdehem ledorosam, that you're supposed to put tzitzis on the corners of your clothing, it meant corners of wool, corners of linen, corners of all other types of clothing, because, says Tosfos, in the desert, they were wearing all types of clothing, and that is the basis of Rava's opinion that all different materials are obligated in tzitzis midioraisa. So for Tosfos, the dispute between Rava and Rav Nachman is an historical dispute. According to Rav Nachman, they only wore wool and linen in the desert. According to Rava, they wore all the types of material in the desert. It's not the only way you have to explain it. You could have explained it otherwise. Not that it's a historical dispute, but it's some other type of dispute. Tosfos explained it as a historical dispute because for Tosfos, the mitzvah, the way that we do tzitzis, is indelibly grounded in the styles and materials and patterns that were present in the Midbar when the mitzvah of tzitzis was given. So we had some parallels. Mr. Maskowitz suggested that perhaps Melacha She'ina Tzvicha L'Gufa is a parallel when we talk about Melachos on Shabbos. So to a certain extent, that's rooted in the way that the Melachos were practiced in the Mishkan. And to a certain extent, we define the Melachos more flexibly so that perhaps even Melachos that are done for purposes that they weren't done for in the Mishkan would be a Melacha the Oraisa. And so that was one example. We mentioned the Chazon Ish about the Malacha of Kosev, writing, and whether writing on a smart pad is a Malacha de Oraisa or not. The Chazon Ish maintained that the Malacha of writing is a flexible Malacha. It's whatever people in a given generation do in order to accomplish the purposes of writing. So if back in the Dara Midbar, all that they did was write with a quill on parchment, so that was all that was defined as writing in the Dara Midbar. But nowadays, the Chazon Ish says that the way that many people accomplish the purpose of writing is by writing with a stylus on a smart pad. So according to the Chazon Ish,
They can dictate it.
You don't even have to write it.
It knows your language, syllables.
Okay, even better. Even better. That's going to be a little harder because it's hard. Is Dibur, can Dibur be a malacha? It's going to get more complicated.
It couldn't even conceive of that. That wasn't even conceivable.
It was not even conceivable, but for the Chazon Ish, the definitions are flexible. They adapt to the modes and the methods of each generation.
Yeah.
Right, so that was just.
But this is a totally different.
Yeah, there's a difference.
This is real on the border of grammar, really.
Yeah, no, it makes things a lot better. When I first heard this shiur from Rabbi Eliyahu, so he said that the reason he was giving this shiur was because he had gotten a question from policemen and from emergency rescue workers in Eretz Yisrael. There's a law that you have to keep records. And so the question was, when they were involved in, you know, whatever it was, not the records weren't necessary to save people's lives, but their keeping their job and their doing their job were necessary. And if they didn't follow the law, it would be very, very difficult. So he was exploring the possibility of having them use smart pads to keep records. The government law allowed for that. And so that's what he was saying. The Chazon Ish would say it's just as big of a problem as writing by hand. But many other poskim would say no, it all depends on the way that writing was performed in the Dor HaMidbar. And so therefore, a smart pad alone would be better. And for sure, the smart, you know, what you're describing, dictation, would be even better than that. So we want to conclude this particular question today by looking at the discussion of Itov, the discussion of how we're supposed to wrap ourselves in order to be Chayav in Tzitzis. Let me get a palace. And thank you very much, Rav Shlomo. So let's say I have this talis over here, and I want to wear the talis like this. Do I have to make a bracha?
Of course not.
I don't have to make a bracha if I'm wearing the talis like this, right? Now, going to the opposite extreme, if I want to wear the talis like this, something like this, right? This is how most people wear the talis after they make their bracha. Some people. Some people. Yeah. Just me. Right? And if I want to wear the talis like this, so then this is pretty much how everyone wears a talis. Right? But it's actually a little bit controversial. There are those who maintain that in order for a talis to require a bracha, so you've got to be wearing it something like this. Now, where is this based on? It seems to be based on the same question. That in the desert, right, when the Jews were living like the Yishmaelim, you know, the nomads back in the olden days lived, this was a very practical way to put on clothing. It protects you from the dust and from whatever else it protects you from. And so conceivably, when it says that you're supposed to put tzitzis, al kanfos kisuscha, asher tichaseba, on the corners of your garment that you cover yourselves with it. Note the similarity, kisuscha, tichaseh. It's the same thing. A kisus, which is one of the synonyms for clothing, means something that you cover yourself with. And the idea would be that the way that they covered themselves in the midbar, and that's whom God was talking to in that parasha, asher tichaseba, that you cover yourselves with it. They cover themselves like this. So that's where we know that there is a mitzvah of tzitzis. But absent that, if we're not covering ourselves the way that they covered themselves in the Dor HaMidbar, perhaps it's no better than wearing a tzitzis like this. This is not, and maybe this is a way that nobody wears tzitzis. This is a way that we wear tzitzis nowadays, even though it's not necessarily how they wore it in the Midbar. And so if everything goes back to the way that it was worn in the Midbar, then perhaps wearing the talis like this, just over the shoulders, without putting it over the head, is not going to be obligated in a bracha that a talis that's worn like this will not be obligated, perhaps, in tzitzis. So that's what I want to explore over the next couple of minutes. We'll just go through some of the main sources on the issue. We'll come back to this talis, so I'm not going to fold it all the way. We'll have to figure out what Atifas Yishmeilim is. So far, what I've encountered is that Atifas Yishmeilim is only about the head, not so much about where it goes down to on the arms, but we'll read through the Gemara and we'll see whether we can identify it more precisely.
You don't have a
80% chance, yes.
What's the other 20%?
Maybe too small. Maybe that the hole in the middle of it invalidates it, but 80% chance, yes. At the Mishnah Berurah, paskins to make a bracha on a talis katan. I remember when my son turned 3, and there's a whole story behind this. I grew up always making a bracha on my talis katan, and then I got married, and I made a bracha on my talis katan when I got up in the morning, and then I made a bracha on my talis gadol when I got to shul. Then a couple of years after I got married, one of my friends in yeshiva said, "Oy vey, you're making a bracha levatala. You're only supposed to make a bracha on one of them." Now the halacha is very, very clear. If a person puts on a talis katan, right, at 7 a.m., and then they put on another talis katan at 10 a.m., they have to make a second bracha. Two talis katans. You have to make a bracha on the first one and a bracha on the second one. You put on a lot of them all at the same time, then one bracha covers them. But if there's a hesech hadas, just like if you have a bite of an apple at 7 a.m. and you want to have another bite at 10 a.m., you got to make a new bracha. If you do the mitzvah of tzitzis at 7 a.m. and then you do another mitzvah of tzitzis at 10 a.m., you need to make another bracha. There was a hesech hadas, an interruption, a distraction in between. So if you put on a talis katan in the morning and then you do other things, and then you come to shul, it makes sense to have a second. However, my friend was saying, "Oh no, you should only make one bracha on the two of them." So for a little while, I stopped making a bracha on talis katan, and I just had one bracha for the two of them. Then when my son turned 3 years old, I was getting him a pair of tzitzis, and I said, growing up, I always made a bracha on a talis katan. But now, like, my friend made me nervous. Maybe I shouldn't be making a bracha on a talis katan. If I shouldn't be making a bracha on a talis katan, why should he be making a bracha on a talis katan? So I went through the sugya again, and I discovered that the Mishnah Berurah says that it's fine to make a bracha on a talis katan. So he says it's also fine if you're going to wear a talis katan, not to, but he says it's fine to make a bracha on a talis katan. So I told my son, okay, now my son makes a bracha on his talis katan when he gets married, so he'll be free to discover whatever people tell him, and then when he has his own, so then he'll be free to discover even more. So that's what we have in terms of the talis katan.
So if you make a bracha on the talis katan, you don't have to make a bracha on the talis katan?
You do have to make it. The same way that if you eat it, right, exactly. There's a distraction in between. It's not a function of hours, it's a function of concentration. So if you literally are focused, I made the talis katan, and I like, tzitzis is my mitzvah. I like someone whom we'll encounter in a couple of dapim. Tzitzis is my mitzvah. You know, as soon as I do the first tzitzis, I just can't wait for the opportunity to do the next mitzvah of tzitzis. So then, even if there is a larger intervening time, you might be exempt from the bracha. But if you sort of, tzitzis slips your mind, and you start concentrating on other things and don't remember the tzitzis, so then you would need to make a new bracha.
And when you make a bracha on the talis gadol, you have to be mindful of the talis katan.
If a person didn't make a bracha on the talis katan, so then they should have in mind for both of them when they make a bracha on the talis gadol. So now let's get into this, because actually the talis gadol versus talis katan will become very important for us, because it's not the same bracha on both of them, right? On the talis katan, what bracha do we make?
Mitzvah.
Al mitzvah tzitzit. And on the talis gadol, what bracha do we make? Le'isateif batzitzis. Which of the two appear in the Gemara, by the way? Only one of those two brachos appear in the Gemara. Le'isateif, right? Al mitzvah tzitzit, as far as I'm aware, does not appear in the Gemara. So we'll have to figure out what the origin is of this bracha of al-mitzvah tzitzit, but lihisateif batzitzit seems to indicate that we're supposed to be doing something more than just having, wearing the tzitzis. We're supposed to be doing something that's a very particular type of verb, ituf. Ituf.
And
Well, I don't know what the verb means yet, but the verb, the name of the verb is ituf. And you find the second source also, it's source number 8 on the second side of this sheet. Source number 8 from Gemara Arachin Daf Beis Amud Beis, which is talking about chinuch. We know that when it comes to chinuch, we want children to be practicing mitzvos the right way. We don't want children to be practicing mitzvos the wrong way. If a child starts to practice a mitzvah the wrong way, they'll get into the habit of doing it the wrong way and they'll keep on doing it even when they're an adult. And so therefore we wait until a child is able to do mitzvos the right way before initiating him and saying, okay, now you're going to make the mitzvah. So there's many different ages. We know that for tefillin, doing the mitzvah of tefillin the right way is very difficult. It requires a lot of self-discipline. That's why we generally wait until children are close to bar mitzvah, or even until they're actually bar mitzvah, before giving them chinuch for tefillin, because we're worried if they start at 10 years old, if they start at 9 years old, not only might there be a bizayon, right, for tefillin, but they also may get accustomed to observing the mitzvah improperly. When it comes to lulav, if a child knows how to be minaneya, so then we'll give him the lulav and the arba minim, but if he doesn't know how to be minaneya, so then we don't want him to grow accustomed to doing the wrong thing with the arba minim, so we're not going to give it to him. So when do we say that a child is able to fully comprehend, to fully fulfill the mitzvah of tzitzis? Says the Gemara, katan hayodea lihis ateif is chayav. So a katan, a child who knows how to be misateif, right, is obligated, his father is obligated to buy him tzitzis, and he is obligated mitam chinuch to begin observing the mitzvah of tzitzis. So again, we have this enigmatic verb, ituf, and we have to figure out what it means. The basic assumption, the standard assumption, is that ituf, or atifa, means to cover the head. And that's based on a Gemara in Moed Katan, right, which tells us that in the context of Avelos, in the olden days, when it wouldn't have been comical, Avelim used to cover their heads, and that was one of the requirements of Avelos. Nowadays, the poskim say, it just people would start laughing. It would be comical if people would cover their heads the whole time that they were sitting Shiva, and therefore we generally do not do it. The minhag fell out of use, but the Gemara says that one of the things in the times of the Gemara that there was a very strong minhag was that people would cover their heads when they were sitting Shiva. And the Gemara explains, what does it mean? Amar Shmuel. Shmuel says, kol atifa she'ena ke'atifas yishme'elim, any ituf, which is not the way that the yishme'elim do it, eina atifa. Halachically, it's not considered to be an atifa. And machvi Rav Nachman pointed it out, ad guvi de dikna. The word dikna, just like yesterday we had the letters shin and taf change between Hebrew and Aramaic. So we had shari, right, is like mutar. Mishvi would be mutari. And we had the idea of a kitra, right, being a kesher. Right, the tes and the shin are interchangeable. There's another sequence of letters that also are interchangeable between Hebrew and Aramaic, and that is Dalid and Zayin. So in Hebrew, the Devora, a B, in Aramaic would be a Zibura. Right? The Dalid changes into a Zayin. The Hebrew Zahav, right, changes into Dahava in Aramaic. So the Dalid and the Zayin are interchangeable. What would that make the word Dikna? Zakan, right? Zakain, right? A beard. So the guve de dikna is some point on the beard. That is where the atifa is supposed to reach up until. So again, I'm not sure whether that means when we talk about the guve de dikna. From the top down or from the bottom up. Exactly. You said it better than I was going to, right? But does it mean that it's supposed to cover my eyes and go till my mustache? Or go even over the mouth? Or does it mean that it's supposed to be like this, right, and like this, so that it covers up the beard on the bottom? We'll see that there's actually a symbolism, at least when it comes to Avelos. We know that Avelim are supposed to eat things that are perfectly round, not things that are shaped like a Pac-Man, right, with a missing piece. And the reason for that is because an Avel ain't lo peh, right? It's almost that we're speechless. were struck speechless by whatever transpired, whatever it occurred, and therefore we're supposed to do things that indicate that we don't have what to say. You know, either it means that we accept God's judgment without complaint, or it means that that at least for the time being, we're not able to begin approaching what happened to us in a rational way, and so we're just going to reflect inwards rather than outwards, whatever the symbolism may be. There's this idea that Avel ein lo peh. He's supposed to eat things that are perfectly round to symbolize that I don't have anything to say. Not for good yet, not for bad either, and that's the symbolism of round foods for Avelim. So we'll see very soon that there are those who say that the atifa, the covering up, right, at govi de dikna, is meant to accomplish the same symbolism. It's meant to cover up the mouth to symbolize that self-same thing. We don't have what to say. We don't yet have the good, the reflection, etc. to say, but we don't either have anything negative to say. Right now we're just struck speechless. We're formulating our thoughts, and when we emerge from the avelos, we'll be in a better position to articulate positive things about what happened. Yes?
I'm looking at the story of the Dayan Kamar over here. It says, V'tachas v'tzei v'titalaf. V'titalaf is a way of the way we're doing atifa. What is the meaning of the word v'titalaf?
It has nothing to do with that.
What does it mean then?
It means she, like, the posture was that, like, she's accepting something, waiting for something. If nothing to do with ituf. Ituf and titalaf is a... titalaf is a reflexive verb. It's itpael. Means she behaved in a certain way.
It's an interesting it's an interesting question etymologically, because I'm thinking we say in Tehillim, right, after the Shir, Behis Ateif Alai Ruhi. Behis Ateif Alai Ruhi. What does Behis Ateif Alai Ruhi mean?
Inward. My
it means like faint. I thought it means to be faint.
No, Lit Aleph is to faint.
Right, and Behis Ateif?
Lit Ateif is that My spirit is folding inwards. Mm-hmm. It's not showing out.
Okay, well, we'll have to check the mefarshim on these two. I'll have to check the mefarshim on those two words. So anyhow, coming back to Moed Katan. So we have this idea that an atifa, which is not like the Yishmaelim's atifa, is not valid. Now, based on the explanation that I gave, which is offered by the Baal HaItur of the symbolism, so that symbolism is exclusive to Avelim. And so perhaps the statement of Shmuel should be interpreted narrowly, that in the context of Avelos, any atifa which fails to cover the mouth is insufficient because it doesn't symbolize what it's meant to symbolize. But perhaps elsewhere in Halacha, where the term ituf appears, perhaps elsewhere in Halacha, ituf could mean something else which doesn't involve covering the mouth, because there's no need to symbolize the silence in other areas of Halacha. Or you could reject the explanation of the Baal HaItur. You could say that the reason that an avel needs to be misateif is because that's what ituf means. Okay, we'll have to figure out why there's such a minhag developed. Right? But the fact is that it might be that this definition of ituf can be exported to other areas of halacha. Yes?
Why is the standard of Shmuelim with practice our standard?
So if you, again, in the context of Avelos, the reason is because you need to cover the mouth. That's just the Gemara's way of saying that you need to cover your mouth. It's a good pedagogic technique. Instead of simply describing Agovi Didikna, the Tanaim or the Amoraim formulated it in a way that would be very graphic to people. They said it's like Atifas Yishmaelim, so that you can immediately summon up an image. Oh, I've of course bumped into Yishmaelim. I bump into them every day. This is how they dress. This is how I'm supposed to do
Ito.
It's
not part of the Avodah Zarah. When we say you don't follow, this is just a picture. That's really, instead of saying a picture.
We usually reject practices of others, and we certainly don't want to use them as a model.
Right. So over here, that's a longer story. I'm wearing a tie. I am wearing a tie.
understanding what is right on top, hard stuff, decorated, defined as from karma, from action.
Tibanevesi konin
ir sichon.
Ir
sichon. Yeah. Right. We do take things from the Gaon.
Yeah. That you have an example. That's an example that I'm already asking generally to use this, mm-hmm. when there's no example.
Yeah, so that's a complicated topic. We could address it more thoroughly in a different series of shiurim about chukos hagoyim and what is impermissible chukos hagoyim and what circumstances make chukos hagoyim permissible. I think we spoke about it once before very briefly about graduations and graduation gowns. But
he's asking what's the hava man.
So again, I'm saying the Pasha Pshat is that it's a pedagogic technique. Instead of the Gemara, right, instead of trying to describe how a face looks in words, right, the Gemara just summons up an image that presumably was familiar, right, to all the people in the times of Shmuel, and that way you have an immediate reference that'll give you all of the points that you need. So let's just for a second, so we have this question, is it narrow, exclusive to Avelos, or is it broad? So the next source deals with this a little bit, and it tells us, Avel Chayav Batifas Arosh, and Avel must be Otev his head, and the source for this is, Midrika Amar Le'Rachman Ali Yechezkel, Lo Sate Al Shafam, Yechezkel is not supposed to be Ote Al Shafam. What's a Shafam? Shafam? Safam is a
mustache.
So again, the Gove de Dikna, the source here seems to have something to do with the mustache. Again, I don't know, from the bottom up, from the top down, right? But is the mouth covered? Is the mouth not covered? Maybe it's just the eyes and the nose that are covered. But that's the source for an Avel. There's a Pasuk that says an Avel, right, must be Ota Yechezkel Anavi was commanded that in a certain instance that he was not supposed to observe the customs of Avelos to symbolize that the Jews who were expelled from Yerushalayim would not be given the opportunity to mourn for their loved ones who perished in the siege and in the battle. And so God told Yechezkel to, that he should not mourn on a particular occasion in order to symbolize that, this is what's going to happen to all the people in Yerushalayim. And so we can infer all the things that God told Yechezkel not to do are things that usually Avelim in his time did, probably because there was some sort of an obligation for them to do it. And then the Gemara asks, Minude Mahu Batifas Harosh. We don't have Nidui nowadays, but it was some sort of a Chirem, which was much, much stronger than the Charamim that we have nowadays. And there were particular obligations that a person who was a Minude had that he had to observe in order to show his compliance and his conformance with the Ratzon of Chazal so that he could eventually be welcomed back into the fold. And the question is Atifas Harosh one of those things? And Rav Yosef says, Tashma, Hein Misatfin V'Yoshvin Kiminudin V'Cha'avelim Ad She'irachamu Aleihem Min HaShemayim. So I don't know who the Heim is, but it seems that the Braisa puts a Menuda and an Avel together, and it says that both of them should be Misatef, so obviously a Menuda also needs to be Misatef. And Abayi says, maybe Menuda LaShemayim is different. The person who, I guess that the Haim in this case was someone, wasn't that the Bastin, the local Bastin put him into Chayrem, but it was something happened from heaven, that would be already different. And finally, the Gemara says, Mitzora Mahu Be'atif Asarosh. What about a Mitzora? And again, it brings a Pasuk, Al Safam Yateh, that he's supposed to be Oteh, right, on his mustache, Michlal Shechayov Be'atif Asarosh. So we have here three instances. In two of them, there's a pasuk, which may suggest that it's an exclusive gzeiras hakasuv to those two instances. The third one, we don't seem to have a source, which may imply that we export, right, the definition of atifa beyond these two. But it also may suggest the fact that the Gemara identified these three instances as instances where you need atifa, right, in the sense that an avel needs atifa, that perhaps it's limited to these three, which the Gemara is identifying, and it doesn't go beyond them to tzitzis and various other things. The Gemara doesn't say, tzitzis mahu, right, batifas. Harosh. Does tzitzis need atifas harosh? Does tzitzis not need atifas harosh? Maybe that's because it's pashut to the Gemara that tzitzis does not always need atifas harosh. So we'll have to see how the Rishonim address this. So let's take a quick look at some of the proofs that Rishonim bring on either side. On the one hand, we have a sheet. If you want, I got extras. On the one end, you have the Mardukai, who champions the position that the person must cover his head and wrap around in order to make a bracha on the tzitzis. And he says, Kasav Rabbeinu Shimshon Zichrono Levracha. Rav Shimshon wrote, Amar li Rabbi b'shem Reish Tzadi. I'm not sure who that is, but my Rabbi said in the name of one of his Rebbeim, some talisos sha'osin ba'ashkenaz, those Ashkenazi talisos. V'heim k'min malbo sheyeshla beis hatzavar. They're like a baguette, some sort of a clothing that has a hole for the neck. Sounds like
Talis katan.
A hole for the neck. Says chetzio lefanav, half of it is in front. Chetzio lachorav, half of it is in back. Ke'in capillaria, whatever this capillaria is, some sort of a clothing that was familiar to them. Ein zem mina muvchar, says Rabbi Shimshon. This is not the choicest type of talis. The lo mikvi asher techaseba. This is not called that you're covering yourself with it. To cover yourself, you need to do more than simply have one strap over one shoulder, one strap over the other shoulder, and a little bit covering your chest and a little bit covering your back. The afrosho mashmaketzas shetzarech lechasos. Even your head, it sounds like in order to be yotze, right? The mitzvah of tzitzis, in order to make a brach on tzitzis, you maybe need to even cover your head with a tzitzit. This is the opinion of Rabbeinu Shimshon with a tzitzit. Because midibayinon v'perach atcheles, because we require in our parak, we'll get to it a little bit later, that a talis needs to be big enough. Shiur talis, the size of a talis, the measurement of a talis, is she'akaton mis'ateif bo rosho, that a child is able to cover his head with it. Why the mention on covering the head? It's not for the fact that you don't need tzitzis, you're not yotzi tzitzis, unless... It's hard to know.
A child's head is what?
A child's head is not so big. The question is, the Gemara, I think the language of the Gemara is Rosho Virubo, and it's not enough to just be his head. It might need to be his head and most of his body. The Gemara doesn't specify how old the child needs to be. So it's hard to know. Maybe when we get to that Gemara, we can go into it a little bit more. This is obviously very, very big. But, I mean, these talisos are big. The talis katans, the tzitzis, are a little bit smaller. And in addition to the fact they're this type of a talit. Yeah, so sometimes I you go to the, you know, shuls, and I think I haven't seen them that much in town, in Queens, but out of town, a lot of shuls have these very, very small talitot for guests. And so there you have to measure and get, you know, see what the size is. There was a point in history where the size of a talis was quantified, meaning that we gave the measurement in terms of amot or in terms of tfachim, but that's in a way just caused more confusion because there's a controversy over the size of an amma and over the size of a tefach.
A tefach,
usually we say that it's the length from here to here, something like this, here to here or from here to here. There's different sizes given for a tefach. A tefach probably ranges somewhere between these two sizes. Yeah, either like this or like this. And an amma. Usually we say around 2 feet, right? 5 tefachim or 6 tefachim. The measurements are all very complicated, and so I'm gonna bracket the discussion for now about the exact size, right, of a talis. For now, the Mardukhi is quoting this simply to demonstrate that there is some resonance to the concept of covering your head in Hilchot Tzitzit, and probably that's why the Gemara insists that a talis be the size of a child covering not just his body, but also his head, because in order for a talis to be a proper talis, in order for it to be chayav in the mitzvah of tzitzis, there needs to be head covering as well. He goes on and says, Mashma, shetzarich sheyehe alav, shem malbush, ra'ui, lechasos alav, lekala pachot, Lekatan. And he says, Siman ledavar, a sort of a hint, an allusion to this is, Sha'anu mevarchin lehis ateif batzitzit. So we make the bracha on the ituf, not just on the mitzvah, which implies that we need to do more than just put it over our shoulders. The Mardukhi clearly thinks that ituf means covering the head, like atifas yishme'elim, v'chin gabi avel, and he tells us, he just reveals to us, he's getting this avelos, atifas harosh. Fine. So that's the position of the Mardukhi and most of his proofs. Now, if you take a look at the next source, So Tosfos is commenting, a child, once he knows to be misatef, is chayav in tzitzis. Misatef, Tosfos says, starts off assuming that it means covering the head like the Mardechi, and therefore he says, Mishum da amar b'moi katan, kol atifa she'ena, ke atifa z'yishme'elim, ena atifa, therefore, she'me'atfen talisam ad sfamam, k'di'isa b'medrish. So Tosfos at first think, like the Mardechi, that atifa means to cover the head. But then he says he found from a very early source, one of the liturgical poems that the Gedolei Hador used to write to enhance the tefillah. He says, Matzati besiluk echad, sha'asa Reb Yosef Tuv Elem, I saw in one of these poems that Reb Yosef Tuv Elem composed, sha'nosein tzitzit echad milfanav, ve'echad milacharav, miyamin, one in front and one in back on the right, one in front and one in back on the left, right, and that is ituf. Ituf does not mean covering the head up until the mustache or up until the mouth, but rather ituf means wearing the tzitzis so that two strings are in front, right and left in front, right and left in back. If a child is able to wear his tzitzis that way, nowadays it's very easy with the hole for the neck, you just put it on and that's how it is, but if a child is old enough to be able to wear a talus like this without having it slip off or get all confused, that you have in front and in back, so then that is ituf. This is ituf according to Rav Yosef Tuv Elam, front right, front left, back right, back left, and this is ituf. It has nothing to do with covering the head. The definition is different in Avelos than it is in Hilchos Tzitzis. In Avelos it means this, and in Tzitzis it just means this. Okay, so that's Tosfos. The defender who defended this idea at the greatest length is the Sefer HaYitur. The Sefer HaYitur brings a large, large list of proofs that ituf for tzitzis does not require covering of the head. And he tells us as follows. It's worth reading inside. Sometimes we show him, a lot of words bringing their proofs, and sometimes we show him consolidate so that every single word, you know, counts for... You know, the Rishonim always do that, but there are some Rishonim who write a little bit longer to make it easier to understand, but it also takes longer to read then. You know, for every line that you read, you get a little bit less content, even though it's a little bit more clear. This particular piece of the Sefer HaYitur is written very tersely, and so that means that we'll be able to read a lot, right, in just a couple of lines. So let's take a look at what he says, and he's going to bring a long list of proofs. He says, Rabotenu HaGeonim Kasvu, that the great Geonim, it's source number 13 on the second side of the page, source number 13, Rabotenu HaGeonim Katvu, that atifato katifat hayishme'ilim, that the way that you're supposed to wear talis is like the Yishme'ilim did it, to covering the head. Atifa gemura, complete and total atifa. He says, Mistabra lon, that atifat Yishme'ilim lo huizkaru elagabe avelot. It seems to us that that was only for avelos, but when it comes to tzitzis, that's not the definition of atifa. Even an atifa which is not an atifa siyishme'ilim is still sufficient for tzitzis. And then he starts bringing a long list of proofs. He says, number one, b'Yerushalmi. In the Yerushalmi, tzarich lechasot et piv. The avel needs to cover his mouth. U'bavli, the Bavli says, ma adosha.
Lentil.
Ein lo peh, just like a lentil is perfectly round, there's no piece missing. Af avel ein lo peh. So it's all by Avelos. The symbolism of covering the mouth is unique to Avelos. The Pasuk, which says that we need to have a covering of the mouth, is a Pasuk which is specific to Avelos. There's a specific Pasuk that mandates this type of Atifa for a Mitzora. And by Menuda, I'm not even sure whether we can export it from an Avel and a mitzora to a minodeh. Is that how we read the Gemara on source number 10? Source number 10, was it mibayilon? We weren't sure? Or did we have an answer? Just a second, let's answer my question first, then we can have more questions. In source number 10, did the Gemara only have a question about this, or did it also have an answer? It had an answer. Right? The Gemara said, what's halacha by a minodeh? Right? And it said, like a menudah and like an avel, they both have to cover. So that seemed to be an answer. But then the Gemara went back and said, no, maybe that's only a menudah l'shamayim. Mm-hmm. Right? But a regular menudah, a person who the local based didn't put him into chirim, so it seems that the Gemara left it unresolved. So it's not really clear that we can export from Avel to other areas of Halacha. It's not even clear that we can export it to Menudah. Yes?
No, I'm saying when Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Shammai, Hashem showed him what tefillin is supposed to look like. Halacha l'moshe m'Sinai. It didn't show him what tzitzit is supposed to be. Like Jake says, we have to learn from the Ishmaelim.
I mean, we're not learning it from the Ishmaelim. It's like, for instance, let's say that I had a smart board here, right? Let's say that I had a smart board. Right? So what I would have done is I would have gone onto Google, right, and I would have typed in image Bedouin, right? And then I would have downloaded it onto my smart notebook. And then instead of having to describe to you like this, like this, like this, I would have just put up the picture. The picture's worth 1,000 words. So that's what the Chazal were trying to do. We're not learning out how to wear tzitzis from the Yishma'elim, but what we're doing is we're using the image to convey what otherwise would have taken 1,000 words to convey. That's what we're doing. We're just summoning that image to mind so that we can understand more clearly how we're supposed to do it. Not that we're learning from them. We're learning it from Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai. That God wrapped himself in a talis when he appeared to Moshe and told him the Yogim Omidos Harachamim, and presumably if not from there, then from someplace else. Chazal had a tradition how we're supposed to wear it. But how are we supposed to convey that tradition to other people? So you've got to, if they had a talis, maybe they would have put on the talis themselves and said, like this. But then you wouldn't have worked to write. And so he said, like this. That's, by the way, that's what the word machvi means. And machvi in Aramaic means to point. Where does it come from? I could tell you the etymology. A chivya is a snake. The chivi, right, were the snake people. That was one of the nations of Canaan. The chivi, they were the snake people. The Gemara explains exactly why that is. They used to lie on the ground like a snake and sniff at the dirt before they planted anything, because they were able to smell what type of seeds would do well in a particular type of ground. So they were called the snake people, and those are the chivi. A chivya is a snake, and to be machvi means to, like, you know, wiggle your finger like a snake to point something out. So whenever the Gemara uses the word machvi, right, it always means that someone is pointing at something. So again, if you look at source number 9, second word on the second line, machvi Rav Nachman, it means that Rav Nachman felt that to convey what Atifas Yishma'ilim is, it's not sufficient to simply say, well, let me draw you a picture with words. The face has approximately, you know, it's approximately 1 foot, and if you imagine, the nose is probably 6 inches down, and the mouth is 9 inches down, and the chin is 12 inches down, and it's also going to be 9 inches wide. And so if you're going to do an Atifas Yishma'ilim, so then you might want to have the talus come down, you know, between 8.5 and 9.5 inches. It already gets very complicated. So what he did was, right, there was a place called the Govei Didikna. He didn't say it's up until the Govei Didikna. He just put on a talus and he pointed. And the Gemara, in order to convey that to us, couldn't just say a machvi Rav Nachman like this, right? It wouldn't work. So the Gemara adds on, Rav Nachman pointed out. Where did he point to? It's to the place which they knew as the Govei Didikna. So I think that that's sort of what Shmuel was doing as well, except that Shmuel was earlier than Rav Nachman. Right? Rav and Shmuel were already Talmidim of Rav Yehuda Hanasi. Rav Nachman came only a few generations later, and presumably in the times of Shmuel, so it wasn't even necessary for him to put it on and point. All he needed to do is say, go out to the Shuk, and you'll see a Bedouin, and all the Bedouins dress a certain way, and that's how you're supposed to be covering yourself, or that's how a person is supposed to be covering himself when he is in Avelos. I think it's purely a pedagogic tool, rather than saying that we're importing a custom from someplace else.
Mm-hmm. Seems like he had a unique way of wearing a talus. Nobody else wore it.
I think that everyone wore it like that, but the controversy was like this. This is how most people wear talisos, right? The Geonim, the Mardechai, Rabbeinu Shimshon, felt that everyone, in order to be Yotzi, needs to wear the talus like this. When you're wearing a talus like this, that's when you're obligated to put tzitzis on it, and so that's when you're fulfilling your obligation of tzitzis. The Mordechai, the first opinion in Tosfos, would say, if you wear a beged like this, without it covering the head, then there is no obligation to put tzitzis on clothing that you're wearing like this. It's a radical opinion, to us at least. If you're wearing a talis like this, only over the shoulders, they would say there is no obligation for tzitzis, and therefore if you put tzitzis on your talis when you're wearing it like this, then you are not yotzei a mitzvah. There's no obligation to put tzitzis on a talis like this anymore. But if four... Is there an obligation here? I've got a four-cornered baguette. Do I have to put tzitzis on it? Would I need to put tzitzis on a four-cornered baguette before I do this? Do I need to put tzitzis on a four-cornered baguette before I do this? Hold it.
Wear it like this.
This is now wearing, right? Well, so Rav Yosef, the other opinion tells us that this is not called wearing either. And you know why not? Because in the desert, no one wear their clothing like this. In the desert, they went around, right, with their yarmulkes and their shirts all as part of one, right? It's a onesie or a zoot suit or whatever you call it, right? Then in the desert, that's how they wore it. They covered their head and they covered their back and their shoulders the same way. This is how clothing was worn in the desert. And if we're not wearing our clothing the way that it was worn in the desert, there's no obligation to put tzitzis on it. That seems to be, right, the opinion of the Mardukhi, the opinion of the Gaonim, wearing it like this, no obligation, no mitzvah.
Why is it desert related?
That's what we began. That's what we began this year with today.
From the sun and from the dust
storm. So we began with today again. I don't want to say it again at great length, but basically God is talking to the Dar HaMidbar when He says, "Put tzitzis on." And so His message to the Dar HaMidbar is, right, when you wear your tight clothing the way that you wear clothing, that's when it needs tzitzis. We don't have any precedent for saying that other types of wearing, other types of asher techaseba, that those types of kisui need tzitzis. God says to the people in the desert, when you are mechase yourselves with your clothing, with your kisus, then you should put on tzitzis. How are they mechase themselves? Over the head. So we see that there's an obligation that when you're putting tzitzis over your head, there's an obligation to put on tzitzis. If you're putting tzitzis on some other way, so we don't have any precedent for there being such an obligation. When God spoke to the Dar HaMidbar, He said, the clothing that you cover yourselves with, I don't want to deal with it more because we dealt with it at length at the beginning of this year. So back to the Sefer HaItur. The Sefer HaItur says, I'm now on 2, 4, 6 lines down, third word on the line. Says the HaItur, other people, aside from the mitzora and the avel and maybe the minodeh, are not obligated to cover their head. Because if it's so, you'll have to cover the mouth. And that Rabbi Shimon, he used to go around the whole day with the talis. So did he go around the whole day with his eyes and his nose and his mouth covered over? Or was that something that was unique? Talis doesn't need that way, right? Otherwise, how can you say that he was miskaseh, right, the whole day? That would be really strange to bump into a person. I mean, literally, he would bump into you, right? It would be very, very strange. And v'chein chasanim says that chasanim used to sometimes, be miskaseh, right, with a talis at their wedding. Well, that would be pretty funny if the chasan was dancing at the wedding with a talis covering his eyes and his nose and his mouth. It would actually be a little bit awkward also. Mia yumis atfim mekach, Rabbi Yehuda, they said he was an inash tznia, a very modest person, and lo av ashadar glima, and he would never take off his talis. Atu kol yuma hachi kai, the whole day he would spend the whole day with his eyes, nose, and mouth covered. Dabi birkat hamazon, says the Bala Yitur. The Amar Rapapa misateif v'yasiv. Rapapa used to be misateif before he said birkat hamazon. So mishum de chazinam be'ituf katifas. Mishum de chazinam be'ituf katifas yeshmeilim. Who, just because the Talmud uses the word ituf, must that mean that he too, right, is using the word ituf? It means that for birkas hamazon he would cover his mouth. It's not necessary. Just because the Talmud uses the word ituf doesn't mean that it's always atifas yishme'ilim. The word ituf is a homonym. It sometimes means atifas yishme'ilim when the Talmud says that it means such. Shmuel says, by Avel, this is what it means. By Mitzora, this is what it means. Al Safam Yated, the Pasuk says, you got to cover the mustache. But elsewhere, the word Ituf does not mean Atifas Yishme'elim, because otherwise it will lead to a ridiculous conclusion that every time that the Talmud uses the word Misateif, right, so-and-so used to be Misateif before benching, so that would mean that he covered his mouth. It's totally not necessary. Then he goes on and he says, V'gabi Tzitzis Nami, even though that's the language of the bracha, lehisateif, he says, lashon kisushi. Lehisateif just means to cover. Because it doesn't say lehisateif anywhere in the Torah. Kidiksiv asher tichaseba, shemichaseh bichsus, ve'olchin ve'oskin be'iskehen, pa'amim be'kisui arosh, pa'amim be'gilui arosh. So says the Bala Itur, Asher Techaseh Ba, means the way that we cover ourselves when we go to work, when we go to run errands, and that means that sometimes it's true that maybe we'll cover our heads, you know, when we do that. If we were wearing talisos all day long, then it could be that there would be times that we cover our heads for warmth. We go outside in the rain, we cover our heads with a hood. We go outside in the winter time, and we might cover our heads with the hood of our coat if we didn't have a coat, but just a very thick talis, and we would cover our heads with a talis. But in the summertime, or when the weather's nice, or when we're indoors, we will uncover our head. So techaseba is a directive to each generation to whenever you're going to be wearing clothing, in the normal way that clothing is worn, and it's a four-cornered garment, you need tzitzis. There's no specific directive to wear it the way that they wore it in the desert. You've been saying the bracha. I mean, how come we say lehisateif? Because the Bala Itur is reinterpreting. He says, how do you know that ituf means ituf yishme'ilim? That ituf, as I started off, it's a very ambiguous verb. We don't know what ituf means other than behisateif alai ruchi. And we'll have to figure out what exactly that means. Right, so Rabbi Yosef Tov Elam said that ituf just meant having two tzitzis in the front right, front left, and then two back right, back left. That's what he said ituf means. And that may be why, let's say, our shirts don't need tzitzis, because all the corners are in front or something along those lines. Yeah. So we're not, again, that could pose a problem for the Sefer HaItur, right? But basically we'll have to consider that at the proper place. But the Sefer HaItur is saying that it is the way that people are the way that you dress when you go to work, the way that you dress when you run an errand, and the Vilna Gaon in source number 14, if you just look at the underlined part, right, makes the same point a little bit more succinctly. He says, "Ituf lo ksiv bikra." The pasuk doesn't say that you need to put tzitzis on clothing that you're misateif in. Ela asher tichaseba. The pasuk says that you cover yourself with kederech bnei adam, the way that it's normal, the normal way that people cover themselves. Shemiskasin v'chulei ulisateif haynu kisui. It just means to cover yourself. So again, you have this idea derech bnei adam, that the normal way to dress, that is the manner of dress which is mechayev us in tzitzis. If we're dressing normally in a four-cornered garment, we need to put on tzitzis. If we're dressing what's in a way that's abnormal for us, that we would not go to work, we would not go out on the street wearing a four-cornered garment like this, then we would not be chayv in tzitzis. But the standard is a contemporary standard. It's not a historical standard. It doesn't go back to the way that they were wearing the tzitzis in the Dar Midbar, but rather it's how we do it nowadays. So, what we end up with, just to put two and two together, is that by ituf, we pretty resoundingly say that the standard of asher techaseba is a shifting standard. If, for some reason, right, everybody started wearing a talis like this, right? So then it might be that you would need to put tzitzis on a garment before you walked out like this. I can't imagine any reason why people would do that. But for all I know, in the Midbar, people couldn't imagine any reason why you would uncover your head. They always covered their head. Maybe it was unimaginable to them. So I don't know why people would do this. But if everyone started wearing it like this, this would be Asher Techaseba. It's Derech Bnei Adam. It's the way that people are miskasin, right? The Oskin Biskayan. Yes?
Could you derive anything from Shatnas? You know, the salespeople of Shatnas would wear, you know, the garment just to show it. Then it is there any connection?
We talk about over there, that's hana'ah, right? That you need, there are different functions for clothing. And we find in different areas of halacha that we sometimes view clothing as having certain, so clothing might be that you're wearing it in order to be warm, or you might be wearing it in order to preserve your dignity, or to enhance your honor, or you might be wearing it for some less common reason, like to see whether it fits you, or because you're wearing it because you're trying to smuggle it past the tax collectors, or something along those lines. That apparently once was a big concern.
Well,
people would
wear it.
Right. No. So exactly. So that's where it comes up. When it comes to kilayim, it says lo silbash sha'atni samro fishtim yachdav, and I have to remember what the source is, but Chazal had a tradition that it's only forbidden midyaraisa to wear sha'atnis, number one, when it's done for hana'as chimum, when you're doing it for warmth. And there's a second issue, which is also davarshino miskavin, which is more complicated. So I'd have to think more. I think that I'm not rejecting out of hand that there's a yeah, so I have to think a little bit more about it. So when it comes, one second, just let me finish my thought. When it comes to itof, we say it's a contemporary standard. When it comes, one more second. When it comes to the color, so we seem to adapt more of a Dor HaMidbar standard, right? That the tzitzis are white. And the tzitzis are white because most talisos in the times of the Dor HaMidbar were white. And so that's not necessarily going to change even if all the talisos become blue. So it's not necessarily the answer to this question about when the Torah was talking, right? Do we pattern ourselves after the Dor HaMidbar or after contemporary? It changes even within a single area of halacha depending on, right, what the psukim sound like they're saying, depending on what the tradition that we have is, right? Halacha l'moshe misinai, etc. It's not always going to be the same answer, but the question, right, is an important question to ask every time that we're dealing with an area of halacha that originated in the midbar, but that things sort of changed in between. It's always going to be a very important question to ask. Let me just a second. We had Alvin and what's your name?
Netanel.
And Netanel. So let's just Alvin. I think was asking first, and then we'll get to you. Yes.
I think you were going to Rabbi Meir of Shiro.
No. I want to go to the embassy, and I need to take the QM4, which costs $5, and I'm broke. So anybody to help?
Would it be a true statement to say that we just have the sisters on the four corners, huh? On the four corners.
Right.
Garment. Like nowadays, the only four corner garment would be a sisters of palace, and therefore we just have to put sisters on sisters of palace. Nothing else?
Sorry, one more time?
Just have to put sisters on four corner garment. Nowadays, the only four corner garment would be a sisters or a talus, so therefore, we just have to put sisters on a sisters or a talus.
So we paskin resoundingly like the Baal HaItur. So there were those who said, right, apropos of Boaz's question, that anytime you're not covering your head, then there's no mitzvah of tzitzis. And so on a talis katan, they said, you don't have to make a bracha, there's no fulfillment of the mitzvah because it's not over your head. But we paskin that it makes no difference. If you'll find, if you watch people get dressed in the morning, there are some people who are makbid to try however best they could to cover their head with a talis katan when they make the bracha. And they do that because they're worried, right, they want to get 100% sure that they're fulfilling a mitzvah, the araisa, with their talis katan. And so they cover their head with a talis katan to make absolutely sure. If you don't cover your head, then you can be 90% sure, you can be 80% sure. You can be 80% sure, but you can't be 100%
5, 4, 4, 3, 4,
5.
Stealing from the cherry.
Hey! What? Don't come back here.
Fuck you!
You too.
Yeah?
Who is that crazy?
Crazy! Exactly! You say it right.
Sorry, so again, just there are some people who try 100% in order to be 100% certain you're being Yosei the Tzitzis, then yes, the head should be covered while you're wearing it. But if you're not covering the head, then you can still be 80 or 90% sure that that it's right, and to the extent that we still make a bracha on the Talis Katan even if we don't cover our head with it, because we're confident enough that that too is obligated in Tzitzis, that it doesn't pose a difficulty for us.
You're
welcome. Yeah.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Amen.
Amen.
I mean...